Hi, it's John, and this is Channeling WordPress, Episode 10, on February 14th, 2022. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you got your business taken care of. I'm not necessarily on my A-game here, but I will have it managed as soon as this podcast is published. Happy wife, happy life in my case, but, you know, whomever you're supposed to be keeping happy, get it done, because you'll be happier in the long run. So, today I was visiting the malware antivirus program website looking at some vector analysis for computer threats because I had been reading some stuff about ransomware, and I caught a story about a ransomware version called Sugar. Now, I wasn't even looking for a specific ransomware, but I found one called Sugar that was in the sidebar of their newsletter page, their blog page, and it just so happens it was Valentine's Day, so I said, well, let me go see what's so sweet about this one. And it was actually kind of scary. The byline of this was, they don't care about you. Well, I never thought any virus, any bad actor that is trying to weaponize a website cares about me, but these particular bad actors are going over the top with expressing their, it's not even arrogance, it's their just vile attitude behind what they're doing to people with ransomware. You know, it's they literally make a very clear statement that, hey, you don't matter. The only thing, only reason you matter to us is that you're going to pay us some money or you're not going to see your data. And it make it in very simple English. You know, it's just like, you know, you're just like, wow. You know, anyways, I'm not amazed. This world is got some really cruel actors, and the people behind the Sugar variant of ransomware are simply cruel. They're not just criminals. They're beyond the normal mean criminals doing hacking stuff. So Sugar is attacking everybody it can. It's not just looking at the big dollar business ransom payouts. It's looking at Joe homeowner, that the single mom, whomever has a computer that they could violate, they are locking down the hard drives, and then you're having to pay out of it. And you say, well, what does this have to do with my WordPress website? Well, I got a little chain of command thing we'll talk about, you know, later on. Chain of command being the process of managing a website, which includes internet, router, computer, and the website, the WordPress website. But right now we're going to talk about how to better harden your WordPress website. And this is not really optional behavior for anybody that owns any website, much less a WordPress website. This is mandatory. This is fundamental. It's just like putting your pants on before you go to the grocery store. You need to have your pants on. You need to be zipped up tight. And you need to make sure that you are, prepared when you leave your house. So, WordPress. Let's take this from like a new WordPress install so you can just kind of get, I can build towards the also the plugin management aspect of this. I've been to WordPress websites where when they said, hey, help me fix this, and they had 50 plugins. And not one of those was a security plugin. And of the 50 plugins, 10 of them were abandoned. And there are maybe another 6 to 10 that were just disabled sitting in the back of the WordPress website. And they had over 20 updates, which means they hadn't been updated in some cases. Let's see. I just did one website where they clearly had not been updated for 5 years. Okay? You're like, how is this thing working? Well, it's not working. It's broken. So what do we have here? We have a major problem because of people not doing the right thing to protect their websites. And if that website's attached to their brand, product, or service, or some data that's proprietary, like customer data, and you're not in there taking care of the security of that website, you're basically negligent. And negligence could lead to other problems. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to talk about what things can happen if you're negligent and it's your website. But here's the deal. Hardening your website is not that hard. Reducing your website's chances of being attacked is not that hard. it just takes a little bit of diligence done on a regular basis. Now, when I launch a new WordPress website, right now, based on how some hosting is configured, I only need to load one, two, or three plugins. And that really depends on the hosting from the beginning. We're not talking about, you know, to have all the functionality that might be this website might depend on. But right now I see two mandatory plugins if I'm using premium WordPress and a premium theme. So, two WordPress plugins, and this is based on the premium hosting managing the CDN, the content delivery network, managing the caching, and managing, CDN and caching, and also potentially managing the redirect of the URL, the login URL. And what I mean by the redirect of the login URL, you know, if you go to BuiltWith and you stuff a URL and it'll tell you what platform it's built on, and if you have a WordPress website, you can then go in and enter the factory, we'll call it the factory, the default login URL, and chances are you're going to see the default WordPress login screen. I would have to say that, sadly, probably 90% of WordPress websites use the default login URL, which means that most WordPress websites, a low-skilled human or a really dumb bot can get to the login screen and start experimenting with passwords, username and password combinations. And you got to hope that their experiments fail. By changing the URL to something unique to the website, you slow down this process, but you're not going to slow it down for somebody that knows how to go around the normal URL or a bot. But it does raise the bar enough to push some of the wannabe hackers off to somebody else's website, which is a good goal right now. You're safe. Let the other person that didn't do their business be the one that the junior hacker gets to experiment with. Now, if that URL plugin is not included or I don't like it, I will be adding three plugins. And those three plugins are, number one, a security plugin that is either going to be WordFence Premium or the free WordFence, Security Premium or free, or Bulletproof Security Premium or free. I will admit that currently I don't have any affiliate relationships with any three of those, but I would recommend all three of them depending on your need and your skill level. WordFence is fairly user-friendly, and I use it more often because it's much easier to set up than Bulletproof Security, which is a beast. It's a great program. And it has, a little bit more user interface flexibility than Security. But I've got all three of them, and I run all three of them on my personal websites just so I can have all three of them look at the same kind of issues and also see how WordPress updates, core WordPress updates perform with the plugins. But again, I am generally using WordFence free or premium. Now, how do I determine if I'm using WordPress premium versus free? It really depends on the relationship. While I tell all people, all clients that I build websites for, to just spend the $8 a month and get a WordFence premium license, it's mandatory for those people who subscribe to my website maintenance, backup, updates, content services to use the premium version because it saves money and it saves me time. And my clients like it when they don't have to pay for time that is unnecessary. And doing some of the things that WordFence Premium does at $8 a month, if I do that, it's going to cost quite a bit more. So I generally don't get any pushback over $8 a month for WordFence Premium because it saves them money, and I'll tell you how. So we're still on the first plugin, WordFence Premium. Let's talk about three very cool features that harden your website, and as I mentioned, save money. And going back to the save money deal, is WordFence Premium has a real-time IP block list. And what this does is, as traffic comes at your website, what WordFence Premium does is it matches that traffic to a real-time IP block list. And if that IP block list shows the IP, the inbound IP, as suspect or on the record as basically being used by bad actors, that traffic is just blocked automatically. And that block then, the length of the block corresponds to your settings, which can be anywhere from 4 hours to 2 months. I set at 2 months any blocks that are done by the website automatically. And I'll tell you why. Because what happens is if it's a bad behavior, like a bad IP or certain other behaviors like that I can configure, you know, coming at the website too many times, trying to reset a password over too many times, trying to put bad passwords in too many times, there's certain behaviors I can configure. To me, that's a pattern of bad behavior that I have learned over the years, and those people basically are on their way to a permanent ban anyways. But when I ban them 2 months, I get to look back at the website. I'll go back into the website basically on a weekly basis and look at the blocks and see if there are further attempts to get past that block. Because what WordFence does, I can look at the live traffic, which shows me ongoing bad and good and normal behavior. And then there is the blocked page. I can go to the block page where WordFence has blocked people. I can see the blocks. I can see blocks that I've created and labeled. So I can, for example, I know one website's got Arnold the Hacker as a block. And I know Arnold was the name of of the last successful hack that was done to basically find a vulnerability in WooCommerce. And so he gets a special block. And I like that special block because since he's been blocked, he's still coming at the website. The last time Arnold's block, I call it Arnold's block because I wanted to be able to see when he was back. And I go back to the Arnold block. I think he's at over 1,600 times. Let's just see. That's French Batty. That's 1,600 times. The Arnold block is, looks like he's 500. Arnold the Hacker, sorry. He's only 60. Arnold the Hacker, who came at the website and basically was able to violate and trick a form, which has been corrected by WooCommerce, has only come back about 60 times since August. But that last time was February 8th. So here's a guy that I blocked back in August, has been here back 60 times. He's got a permanent ban, so he doesn't get to see the website, but the website tracks when he comes at it. So he doesn't get to see the website. He probably comes back every now and then hoping that the block's gonna go away. And by the way, I've exported this block data onto a separate document. So if I ever have to throw all these blocks back on this website or any other website, I can just load a code. But I'm looking at these on the block page of this one website, client website that's open right now, because there was a hacker from Virginia, a human that came in and was trying to spoof the website as if he was actually going into plugins. He was trying to break into the website through plugins. What he was doing is he was actually putting a URL that would have steered him into the back end of a plugin and potentially got past any need to validate his authority, meaning a valid username and password with administrative permissions. He was actually going to be able to steer right past it into a vulnerable plugin. Well, earlier when I was reviewing this, I counted 40 attempts by this person about 5 hours ago to get into the website, of which 30 of those attempts appear to be cut and pasting URLs for known bad plugins. I mean, the same IP too. I mean, it's really not very smart because he was blocked at the first time. But what happens is that every time he sent an additional inquiry, the website logged it. He already had a 2-month block. I went in about an hour ago and gave him a permanent ban. And then what I will do a little later on is I'll create a specific block that identifies him, so that when I go in the past, if I choose to need to send a record to his ISP, I can basically address him directly, because there are ways in certain cases to get the low-level hacker some personal attention from his IP and potentially from law enforcement. Generally, we don't want to spend all our time doing that. We want to take care of our customers, get their content up, and keep their website safe. So this kind of dovetails into, and I'm not going to drift too far from WordFence, but this dovetails into making sure you have the least amount of plugins and the plugins aren't abandoned, are readily updated, and are absolutely necessary in your website. And if they are not readily updated plugins that are readily and actively updated plugins that you absolutely need, they shouldn't be on your website to start with. If they're abandoned, they just need to go. Even if they appear to still be working, you basically could have an open door to your website. But let's go back to WordFence features that make the premium awesome. I've already talked about the real-time IP list. I think that's one of the main reasons, the real-time IP block list is one of the main reasons why you get WordFence premium, because it just saves you time and money, lets you do other things, enjoy life other than sit there and micromanage wannabe hackers, okay? That's a pain in the butt. And for $8 a month, you know, you get to do something that somebody will charge you $40 to $125 an hour to do. The math is simple, $8 a month or $40 to $125 an hour. And that's just to fix stuff as if your website's functional. If your website gets violated, then you could be looking at losses that spread into your business, okay? $8 a month, WordFence premium. Or if you choose Bulletproof Security premium or Security premium, don't chintz out here. We are talking about stuff that goes way beyond just the sanctity and the security of your website. But let's move into another feature that's really nice about it is, if I go back and look at the real-time blocks on this website, and again, I'm working in WordFence, I'm going to go back to what we call live traffic. And live traffic, I can see who's logging in and who's logging out. You know, this website does a little bit of e-commerce. People have to log in. I can tell when they need to log in. I can tell when they get locked out. I can tell how many times they try to do a password attempt. But I also can see, for example, I'm looking at blocks, automatic blocks by the website. Now, there are a couple of different kind of blocks, and feature 3 is country blocking. And so I'm going to just advance feature 3 that I like, country blocking, because the first blocks on the website are Russia, blocked via country blocking, and they were looking at workshops. Okay, as you see, product tag workshop. And then they were looking at particular products. They were looking at particular products, block, you know. They were looking at other products. No problem there, blocks. And so the Russian was blocked, and their behavior wasn't necessarily bad, but we don't do business in Russia, and there are so many attacks that come from Russia, we just decided we're just going to block Russia. Now, they probably got to our website by looking at the product, the products that we rank well on internationally. And then they came to the website and they got a 404 screen and said, sorry, but your country's blocked because of nefarious behavior. We're really sorry. If there's some information you'd like to say, fill out this form. And they can reach around through the form. They never do. So it makes me wonder what they're up to anyways. Then I go back to, I see there was a client logged in, and then there was the interrupted the Russians that were checking out products. And, you know, I look at the Russian and I like kind of sort of feel bad that he's blocked. Then I see some failed logins. And then I go down and I see United Arab Emirates. They were just blocked from getting to the website because I was getting hammered from the UAE country. We don't sell anything to UAE. Oh well, enjoy the black people. And this is a case where one or two bad actors basically makes us throw it under the bus. Now, the other thing is I may unblock a country where I see people getting blocked, coming at it in ways that do not look like they have bad intent. I have that choice. But let's go to the next blocks right below it from the good US of A, coming from Tappahannock, Virginia. This is where I have 45 blocks, and almost every one is an attempt to access a PHP file. They're looking at stuff that doesn't even exist on the website, and they've thrown a lot of it. They're looking at plugins. They're looking at attempting to do test PHP ghost sends. It looks like a human has configured a bot to throw in a lot of different. They looked at our config. They tried to get at our configure PHP file, our upload file. They try to go all over the place. Try to kick us into multi-user safe mode stuff. Again, stuff that's not in the website, but they tried to come at it 45 times. Then they did I'm looking at this stuff. They tried to look for an old WP configure file. You know, you can tell because they tried to go to what should have been a username if a WP file has been overwritten and an older version has been stashed. Not blocked, but by this time they're blocked. And when I logged in earlier today, I went and looked at this because I got an email flash and I said, oh man, they're looking for old configure files. They're looking for all kinds of stuff. To me, this person was trending to a permanent block from the get-go, and therefore he got blocked. And guess what? This guy's stupid. He's using the same IP. He can't even spoof an IP. So I know that's kind of a human. And this is somebody that I can reverse search and send a note with a log to his ISP. And his ISP will want to adjust him because this is bad business for them. I mean, they're trying to go into my font files. They're trying to go everywhere. But again, by the time they got into these other potential weak spots, they were already blocked for 2 months. That's why we use the premium version of WordFence, because in this case, the blocks are ones that that I set up and that are part of the core free program. But if these attacks were to come, from a known bad IP, if a known bad IP was going to initiate this kind of an attack, and this was not a known bad IP, they wouldn't have even got as far. They wouldn't have had 45 chances to try. I mean, they generally would have stopped immediately because they wouldn't have got to see the website. This guy probably kicked a bot in, because I'm looking at the time frame on there, and the time frame on these are all within, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. So while it was a human interface, what he did was he kicked in a program to throw all these different attempts. Not as bad as some I've seen, but this is probably one of the dumber ones. And that's where the premium version of WordFence helps me out. It helps me out on the smarter ones that, you know, might try to spoof an IP or use known bad servers, because there are servers out there that basically hackers just use. They go to company X because they're known to look the other way. And the premium version gathers aggregate data from all over the world for these bad IPs, puts in the real-time IP block list, and boy, come at a website with the premium version, you're automatically shut down. You don't even get to see the website. And then while it might record all the attempts, it's really stopping anything they can do because their IP is absolutely shut down. It's worth $8 a month. I think I've worn that one out. Country blocking, that's cool, especially if you don't do business in the countries where you're blocking. We, in this particular client, it's Western Hemisphere business only, and even then it's only limited to certain countries in the Western Hemisphere. And beyond that, I don't want to do something that will negatively impact our SER, our SERP, search engine results positioning, which if you get willy-nilly with blocking, you can. But you know, I know the Russians got to the website via a search engine and they got blocked. So I guess we're doing okay in Russia, even if we don't want to do any business in Russia. So, number one, real-time IP list. Number two, or number three, country blocking. And then number two is, actually number two is the combination of the real-time IP list and the updating of the malware virus threat database. And so, not to be confused, let me restate these again. Number one I talked about was the money-saving real-time IP block list. Number two kind of works with that real-time IP block list, because what happens when you buy the premium WordFence, you get immediate access to the updated threat database. So they do a threat analysis. If a threat analysis pops up, the database gets immediately updated, and premium users, the scanning of the website and the website's reaction to threats is immediate. If you do not have the premium version of WordFence, the threat database is updated for you every 30 days. Now, while that does increase your risk a little bit, I'd still say use the free WordFence over nothing if $8 a month is breaking your budget. But it is important to be up to date with these threats in real time. And that's what the premium does. Again, you're going to see the same type of performance on either security, bulletproof security, or WordFence. I just happened to put the WordFence in the client websites because it's just easier. And now, no affiliate relationship with me or with WordFence, I oughta, but here's what I found. If a client is subscribed to me, it's up to me to make sure the subscriptions, all the subscriptions, themes, any plugins, premium plugins, anything related to mail services or e-commerce are updated. Therefore, in most cases, all the licenses are attached to me. So when WordFence sends me licenses are expiring, I update them, pass the billing on, and I don't upcharge them either. You know, I tell my clients the license costs X amount of dollars. If there's some configuring to do, you know, there might be some hourly on that. But the bottom line is I'm not reselling those services for profit. I think it's kind of bad flavor where a customer goes, oh, I'm using WordFence. He goes there and it says it costs X dollars and I'm charging more. I was like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm naive. I should resell those services. But the thing is, why should I double dip? You know what? I can justify updates an hour here and there to update settings on an annual basis. And that's far less obnoxious. And it's clearly a defined service that works for me. So things like WooCommerce, Gravity Forms, themes, if they're using a premium theme that has an annual renewal, and in this case, security plugins are all my subscriptions that I manage, I'm responsible for. And it does give me a little leverage as a developer, because then I can also say, you know, hey, where's my money? And if you don't have your money, if there's something that I need to pull or repurpose, I can pull or repurpose licenses. That hardly ever happens, but I have had clients that have gone out of business voluntarily, and I've been able to repurpose their licenses to other clients. So, you know, we're tuning on 30 minutes here, and, you know, I wanted to talk about securing your router, which is real quick. Here's the deal. If your router's over 3 or 4 years old, consider buying a new one. If you rent your router from your cable company, walk it to your cable company's service center and exchange it. That's the easiest way to make sure your router is up to date on the firmware. If your router is, let's say, less than 3 years old, sign in to your router control panel, which is generally like HTTPS 192.168.0.1 or 192.168.1.1, and then see if your router needs an update. And then, of course, your computer is in that leg as well. And to defend your computer against ransomware, and also to make sure that everything on your computer is wholesome, you must have an updated operating system and have updated antivirus software, which is going to bring me back to one real quick thing is, you know, you can really work to reduce the chance that your website could cause your business damage or prevent you from doing business. I'll ask you one question, and you've seen this happen before, and I'll give you a tip to get around it. If you go to a website and a screen pops up that might look like, for example, a Microsoft antivirus screen, it has the four-color logo, and it says, "We've detected a virus on your computer," and all you did was visit a website, what would you do? Well, I'm going to suggest first thing people would do is put their mouse on it and click, which is absolutely the wrong thing to do. While modern browsers have stopped, for the most part, pop-ups from basically not being able to be disabled, there are still situations where a pop-up can come up, especially if you haven't updated your browser, and clicking anywhere on that browser is actually a yes, not a go away, and that could get a virus loaded in your computer. I generally go to the task manager and end the process of that browser. If the task manager does not end the process, I put my finger on my computer's power button and I hold it in for 2 seconds and I just say, reboot it, because I do not want to take a chance of loading a virus or getting trapped in some dumb loop. And if you recall, there was a time when you'd get in a loop, you know, you'd click on it, nothing would go away, so you'd power your computer up, and then you turn it back on, and there's that damn screen again, no matter what you do. And then you'd get in a loop, and so you'd had to get out something. In my case, I'd go to Malwarebytes. I'd bring out anti-Malwarebytes, and I would use that, and then I'd use a program to scrub the root files out. I don't have that problem anymore, because I make sure my browsers and my operating system are up to date, and my antivirus is like a bull mastiff on steroids, because I understand that in my case, my data is golden. My clients are golden. Being able to work on my computer is golden. And the $50 a year is a low threshold for me to defend my computer as part of the process of dealing with my clients and then protecting my personal data. So those websites that the flags pop up on, I tell you, there's one other thing in there. I never go back. So if your website becomes the website that pops up the warning, chances are your most valuable asset, your clients, will not come back, or your new traffic won't come back. So I'm John. This is Channeling WordPress. I've gone a little longer than I normally appreciate, but I appreciate that you've come and visited and listened, and hope you've learned something. If you have, you can drop me a note. If you have any questions about configuring what we've talked about here, send a contact form, or you can even put a couple of bucks in my tip jar and help fund this podcast, especially if you have learned something. In the meantime, have a happy Valentine's Day. This is John signing off from Channeling WordPress, episode 10. February 14th, 2022. We're out of here.